Hey everyone, I'm Chuck Peters, your host, and you're listening to the new Kids Ministry 101 podcast, a show designed to inform, instruct, and inspire kids ministry leaders and volunteers. This week's episode comes from our national ETCH Family Ministry Conference that's held each year right here in Nashville. We bring together amazing thought leaders and practitioners from all over the country for ETCH, and we thought, what a better way to equip our podcast audience than to sit down with some of these leaders and have conversations about the things that they're learning and teaching others in the world of kids ministry. The conversation that you're about to hear is just a fraction of the great instruction and inspiration that you'll find here at the ETCH conference. If you haven't already registered, I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us in October. You can find more about this year's event happening October 16th through 18th at etchconference.com, etchconference.com. Now, sit back and enjoy. Here comes today's episode. Once again, we're coming to you from the ETCH Family Ministry Conference in Music City Center in beautiful downtown Nashville, Tennessee, the hometown of Lifeway and Lifeway Kids. We are gathered here this week with kids and student ministry leaders, family ministry leaders, and a bunch of thought leaders in kids and student ministry. One of those thought leaders joins me here today, our good friend Amy Fenton Lee.
Hello,
Amy.
Hello.
We are going to be talking today about special needs ministry, secrets to success.
Yeah.
We all need those secrets because we all want to succeed. Amy Fenton Lee again has joined us. She has written extensively on the subject of special needs inclusion in the church, and she blogs at theinclusivechurch.com. Mm-hmm. So let me refer you to that site, theinclusivechurch.com, where you can go and read some of Amy's blog posts about this and other topics. Mm-hmm. Amy grew up in the church as a PK. She served in all kinds of different aspects of children's ministry, and she lives in Atlanta with her husband and son.
Thank you
for coming to Nashville.
Thanks.
We're glad to have you here. Now, some churches have enthusiastic synergy and success when it comes to special needs inclusion.
Right.
Other churches struggle or flounder a little bit. So as we talk about the answer, we've already hinted to me that we don't necessarily need a big budget to do special needs ministry well, or have to be in a big church.
Right.
Or even have to have big pastor back support.
Yeah.
There are some myths, right?
Right.
That churches may believe
yes.
that prevent them from getting started
right.
and ultimately inhibit their success
right.
in serving special needs
right.
Children and families. So what struggles
yeah.
do you or what struggles do special needs ministries in churches face? What are some of the common struggles?
Well, I think, you know, the perception that it's going to take a big budget, that it's going to take knowledge about special education world. And I just want to say this, you know, I don't have any degrees in special education. I have 2 degrees in accounting. That really doesn't do me much good. And I don't even do my own taxes. But I certainly don't have a degree in special education. And some of the best ministry leaders don't have a background from the special education or from the medical field. They have a heart to learn about this. And they have a passion for helping people grow within a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're not afraid to learn something really new, and that is what special education world is. What families with special needs? It's sometimes its own culture, and you just find somebody who feels a calling and to learn about that culture. And I want to say this: it's so important. Is that a myth sometimes? Is that a person has to have an understanding in the special education world? When the reality is, it's more important for a special needs ministry leader to understand the church culture. Because sometimes it's navigating the way inside of a church that's actually the secret to success for the kid with special needs. Mm. And when you find the churches that have that, the synergy that I talked about, and I was thinking about it, you know, there are some churches that I will just go into and I just feel it. Like everybody you meet is so proud of the special needs ministry, or maybe I find out about the special needs ministry because I'm, you know, like at the grocery store or somewhere out in life, and I start a conversation with somebody and like, what do you do? And I say, oh, I write on inclusion in the church. And they're like, oh my gosh, do you know about my church? Mm. And they don't even serve in the special needs ministry. They just know about it, and they know other families in the ministry. And it's like, so what is it that has some churches everybody knows and is proud of that ministry? And it's oftentimes a really well-connected special needs ministry leader, and they understand that their clients aren't just the kids and the families with special needs. Their clients are the youth pastors. They're the children's pastors. They're the other people in the church that need a little bit of coaching to figure out how to include the kid with special needs. And so they connect to them and they serve. That special needs ministry leader wants to serve the other staff members as much as they want to serve the fourth grader with autism who's got just enough nuances that he needs some help. He needs some help fitting in. He needs some help understanding the Bible lesson and connecting to it in a meaningful way. And that special needs ministry leader wants to bridge the gap, speak the language, and translate for both sides, the church leader and the kid with special needs.
So when we talk about having a special needs ministry,
we've
talked before about inclusion and including maybe a child who has some special needs with the other kids.
Right.
What is it? Are we talking about a whole separate ministry dedicated to special needs?
Good question. Well, first of all, separate, I don't love that word. It's about
additional.
It's really about helping the family and the child with special needs infuse into the church. That's really what it's about, okay? But you define inclusion based on what is best for the child. And if a child develops a sense of belonging, we've talked about developing a sense of belonging, and if they feel comfortable in a smaller room with maybe 5, 10 other friends, other people versus the big large group with 200 kids, you know, if that's where they learn about Jesus better and that's where they feel a sense of belonging, then they're being included in the church. Because the reality is that if we say every kid belongs in large group with the bright lights, the really loud music, that's not going to work for some kids with special needs. They've got sensory issues. And what's ultimately going to happen is they're going to leave the church. And so they're not going to be included because you were so dead set on including them in large group. So sometimes when we say, what does it look like for you to feel comfortable here? What does it look like for you to be able to learn about Jesus? Where are you going to be able to learn about Jesus the most effectively and develop meaningful relationships? And if it's in a room that's not with the other fourth grader, but it's in a room where it's the chillax room, it's the sensory room, it's a room where some other kids maybe have special needs, it's a room where maybe somebody doesn't have special needs, but it's another place, it's another environment,
yes.
Then guess what? That meets the definition of inclusion because she's being included in the broader family of faith in that church.
Yeah, so I want to make sure that the listeners have this picture right.
Right.
We're not talking about a separate classroom that has multiple students who all have special needs as a special needs ministry. It's not a separate room.
Well, you know, I want to stop and say sometimes there are separate rooms.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be controversial because if it's done, you know, this is the part where you pray to the Holy Spirit to come in and really influence your heart on this. If you're wanting to separate and put people off in a corner and they don't have a sense of belonging in the broader church, then that's separate and that is not good. If it is, hey, there's an alternative environment, just like there's an alternative way, you know, you and I don't learn about Jesus, we don't connect with Jesus the same way. For you, it might be music, and for me, it might be art. This is if a child or an individual connects in a quieter environment, or when they're working one-on-one with someone else, and the Bible story is maybe told in a way where they can connect with it. Is that separate? Well, I guess you could say that room is separate from another room. But is it an infused part of the church? And maybe are there some kids in there that don't have special needs because they want to be a part of that room too? And maybe they just have a week. They don't need the chaos of the big, large group. So, yes, there are sometimes separate rooms. But if it's about separating people for the purpose of separating relationships, that's not healthy.
Right. So we need to be united, not divided.
Right.
But there may be times when we do need to go a slight different direction in terms of learning style.
Yes.
To make something work.
And being comfortable means so often we have a kiddo that has bad behavior. Okay. Well, sometimes that means he's anxious or she's anxious. And so when you see a kid, let's say they throw a chair or it happens. Let's just be real for a minute. Or something happened that's like, oh my goodness, that's not good in this Sunday school class or in this vacation Bible school. Well, a lot of times a kid is anxious about something or there's a loud noise or there's something they're about to do, an activity they don't like. They don't like the craft because, see, they're not very good. And this is not universal, but you might have a kid who's not very good with fine motor skills and he knows the craft time's coming. He don't want to sit down and do a craft.
So he's anxious about that.
And so he might be less anxious in the room where we're not doing crafts, in the room where we're maybe playing with some sensory toys, or we've got another activity going on in another room. So, you know, it's all about being practical and don't get hung up. Don't get hung up on, is it a separate environment or not? Get hung up on, are we separating ourselves from a relational standpoint?
Let's talk a bit about why is it important for a church to be aware of this need, to have a special needs team or person?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is a successful special needs ministry important?
Well, because first of all, you've got families with kids with special needs already coming. And at some point, it's, you know, when you get a situation where it's a more significant special needs, they're either going to leave your church, and it's sometimes not pretty. It's sometimes painful because it's grief when you feel like you've lost your church family. It's like a death, and that's just painful. And by the way, that's a message sometimes that people interpret as Jesus, as like you're being rejected. Mm-hmm. That's so painful. We got to be sensitive to that. But it's also the rate of special needs is increasing so much. I mean, autism, you know, the statistics tell us that approximately the same number of little boys have red hair as little boys have autism. And when you think about that, can you imagine if you went to church and you walked in and somebody said, well, you've got red hair, you're not welcome here. That's a lot of kids. That's the same rate as autism. It's there, it's present. And some of our best leaders, some of our people who we wouldn't have ever guessed, they have ADHD, they have autism. And by the way, I have super duper severe ADHD, so I'm so grateful that we have churches willing to accept me, and I can get on a few people's nerves, by the way. So you've got to be able to think about, what are we going to do for the increasing number of children and families who are affected by this? It's coming, and they're either leaving quietly or they're not leaving quietly, and those are neither one good options.
Mm. Tell us about your book. You have a book, Leading a Special Needs Ministry. Tell us what's in there. So if we're looking to cultivate a greater proficiency in serving special needs kids and families, what's in the book?
Well, we talk about things come from a perspective when somebody's going, okay, what do I do first? And sometimes we don't know. Well, it kind of walks you through some of this. It talks about the importance of having maybe a mission state for the ministry. And a lot of listeners out there are probably going, see, I go to a real small church. We only have one or two kids. I don't need a mission statement. Actually, I think everybody needs a mission statement for how they're going to include kids with special needs, because a family might come to your church with certain expectations, and that's okay that they do. But sometimes those expectations don't align with what your church can offer or what your church's calling is. And when you have a mission statement that says, this is what we're about, our purpose is about pointing your child to Jesus. And it's not, we don't provide medical therapy, we don't provide educational therapy, because we know that when you get to the pearly gates of heaven, God's not going to say, did you look me in the eye? You know, did you do certain things that we hope kids are working on in some therapy, but they're not going to do at church. And so when you have a mission statement, you don't hurt anybody's feelings. It's in writing. It was there before anybody got there. And it says, here's what we do. Here's what we don't do. And it really helps keep the conversations on track so that we can really talk about, how does your child learn about Jesus? Because that's what we're really all about. You know, things like that. Maybe you've got a behavior issue, and you're like, oh my goodness, how do I approach this? Or how do I approach the parents? Because I'm seeing this issue and I think it's special needs related. And we give some tips related to that. And just some best practices that I've seen with churches. And, you know, I've lost count with how many churches I've interviewed or church leaders I've interviewed. Gosh, it's probably been somewhere between 50 and 100 church leaders who do special needs ministry. And they'll tell you, what'd you do wrong? They'll tell you, what'd you do right? And sometimes they're really humble and they won't. But you go and you visit the campus and you go, holy cow, they're doing a lot of things right. And those are the things I write about in the book. So that the church leader who's afraid and says, I don't know anything about special education, that's okay. We give you a glossary of the 10 terms you need to know. No, you don't need to know 400. You just need to know 10. You can do this. And you have the book. You don't need to read it front to back. It's your handbook. So when the question comes or the situation comes, you're not reinventing the wheel. You're pulling the book off the shelf and you're referring to it so you can get through whatever challenge you feel like you have.
Mm. Such an excellent resource. Leading a Special Needs Ministry by Amy Fenton Lee. I highly recommend you pick it up at your local Lifeway Christian bookstore or online. But I would love to encourage you to pick up Amy's book, Leading a Special Needs Ministry. Amy, thank you for your time. Thank you for talking with us today.
It's an honor to be here.
We so appreciate your wisdom and insight in this area. Listeners, if you're looking for more check out the book, Leading a Special Needs Ministry, but I would also encourage you to go online to theinclusivechurch.com, where Amy blogs, and you can find more information there. Our desire is to inform, instruct, and inspire you as you serve God by serving the kids and families that have been entrusted to you in your local church. Thank you for your leadership to them, and we pray that we would be able to help equip you for success. Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Again, I'd like to invite you to come and join us to be part of conversations like the one that you just heard at this year's Etch Conference. It's happening October 16th through 18th here in Nashville at the Music City Center, and we'd love for you to be here. All the details on the event are over at our website at etchconference.com. We already have some great keynote speakers that are lined up for this year, including Dr. Eric Mason, Angie Smith, and Pastor Robbie Gallaty. You can also sign up for our email updates so you'll be one of the first to know when we add more speakers and topics in the days ahead. Well, that'll do it for today's episode. We hope you'll join us again next week right here on the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.